Welcome back. This is iFaith 92, part 2 of the Gospel of Hosea. Last time, we looked at some drastic things that the Lord asked Hosea to do. This is in the 8th century B.C., as he's a prophet to Israel. And the first was to marry a woman who would be promiscuous. Hosea knew what he was getting into, and this symbolized the infidelity, the unfaithfulness of God's people to himself. You wonder, when a high-profile person like a prophet does something like this, how was that communicated? What impact did that have on the people of Israel? Second, he was told to name his firstborn child, it was a boy, Jezreel, which is an ominous word because of its associations with the massacre of the royal family. And this points to judgment on the leaders of Israel, on the king and his family. Third, their second child, a daughter, was to be named Lo Ruhamah, which means not pitied, not loved. To name your daughter that, because God was reaching the end of his patience with Israel. And the relationship was just one way. They weren't giving back. They weren't reciprocating. And his forgiveness would reach an end. And then the third child, this one was named Lo Ami, not my people. So there's a progression here from the infidelity symbolized by his marriage to Gomer to the child Jezreel, to Lo Ruhamah, to Lo Ami, not my people. And again, with each child being born and being named these outrageous names, we wonder what impact that would have on those who were following along. Well, then Hosea puts his wife away. He divorces her because she is unfaithful to him. She's with many other men. And of course, this is an illustration for the relationship between God and his people. We read in Isaiah 50, as well as in Jeremiah 3, that God divorced Israel. He divorced them. So this is an instance where divorce was good, where it was right. And yet, it's a gospel. I call Hosea a gospel because of the good news. Even though sin had its consequences, God didn't stop caring. And we read, for example, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. So the Lord foresees a time when things will change. How about this? In that day, I will respond. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. Jezreel means he plants. I'll plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. So you can see a reversal of these shocking developments when God's people return. And actually, Hosea will buy back, he will purchase, he will redeem his unfaithful wife, Gomer. Redeeming, this is redemption. We'll read in chapter 3. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she was loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. In the Old Testament, if there was a divorce, Deuteronomy 24, and that woman was with someone else, you didn't bring her back. Actually, what God tells Hosea to do is shocking here because it seems to go directly against what the Torah says. It's also shocking because she's traded. It's property. She's like a slave. Well, she's reduced herself to this situation. She's hit rock bottom. It's actually even less than a slave would cost. He buys her for 15 shekels of silver. A slave would be 20 or 30. And throw in some grain as well. But he actually buys her back. And he says, I'll make a covenant with them. I will betroth you to me forever. Betrothal is a marriage word. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice and love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. So even though Hosea has been married to Gomer, and by this analogy, the Lord was married to Israel, and Hosea put away Gomer, he's going to take her back. And even though God sent Israel away, he divorced her, he's bringing her back. And it's not just bringing her back and you're in the doghouse. It's bringing her back, and he anticipates a faithful and positive and healthy relationship. So the way that Hosea's life ties in with Israel is really amazing. I mean, marrying someone who will become promiscuous, naming the child basically Jezreel, Lo Ruhamah, Lo Ami, then divorcing his wife, then taking her back. Why? Why does he do that? What's the Lord's reason for asking Hosea to do this? Well, surely it's about relationship. It's because this is who God is. Yes, there's holiness, there's justice, there's wrath, but God is loving. This is who God is. And one of the most important verses in Hosea, Hosea 6:6, God says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." I'm not looking for religion. I'm looking for that heart-to-heart connection. And you need to be merciful towards one another, and you need to turn to me, and I'm merciful to you. Of course, there's no relationship with God above if there's not the right relationship with our fellow humans. The Hosea 6:6 is really important. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So he takes her back. Well, what kind of love had Israel been showing to the Lord? We read in 6:4, "What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah?" Ephraim the north, Judah the south. "Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears." It's not that they don't mean well, but there's not much willpower. There's not much follow through here. How about this one from chapter 13? God speaking. "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, and then they forgot me." They forgot me. It's lack of desire for relationship, for connection. I'd like to share a few more verses here. "Woe to them, they have strayed from me. Destruction to them because they've rebelled against me. I long to redeem them, but they speak about me falsely." God is not reluctantly desiring to redeem us. He longs to, but we have to embrace the truth. "I led them with cords of human kindness," chapter 11, "with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them." You've done that. You've picked up a child, and maybe you've smelt the, especially if it's a baby, you smell the head, the hair. I know it's so encouraging. But this is the love of a parent for a child, and God longs to do that. And one more in the final chapter, "I will heal their apostasy," that is their rebellion, their God foresees better days. "I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them." So there's a time after sin is dealt with when I will love them freely. There's more. And the reason I separated it into kind of the bad news and the good news, the first talk and the second talk, is this rapid alternation, which would be hard to do justice to in these two short talks. This is actually from chapter 1, after the children are named. It says, "Yet," looking into the future, "the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will point one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, 'My people,' and of your sisters, 'My loved one.'" And it's even at the time when Hosea is getting married and first having these children, God knows that they will turn back, that his love will have a powerful impact. How about this? "For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days." the last days, this is fulfilled in the church, the last days at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they'll come trembling to the Lord. Oh, and they're going to come to David, their king. Of course, this is not literally David, who by that time has been dead for almost 1,000 years. This is his greater son. This is the Messiah. And so the fulfillment of everything we're looking at here happens in the Israel of God, which is the church of Christ. Now, there's a passage in the New Testament. If you've been a Christian for even a year, I'm sure you're familiar with this one, but it ties in directly to Hosea, and I need to read this. It's from 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Think about Hosea's children, the royal family that was condemned here. No, God's people will become a royal priesthood. Everyone, not just one family, but the whole people. And you were not a people, but you become a people. That ties in with lo ami. You had not received mercy, but you have received mercy. That's lo ruhama. Of course, the royal priesthood, that ties in with Jezreel. So the New Testament is affected by Hosea, and knowing this wonderful book of prophecy will open up a number of passages in the New Testament. Just a little bit more here. Maybe you're touched by the story and you're thinking, wow, it sounds so New Testament, but it's in the Old Testament. Of course, the Old Testament tells us about God's love. So what should we do? Maybe we need to respond. Maybe we've not been as faithful as we should be. Well, we read in chapter 14, return Israel to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins, receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. The counsel here is to turn to God and to say something and to mean it. And this is a desire to be forgiven and then to honor God as God. There's another passage in chapter 10. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Now, sowing, this is Jezreel. He sows. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So yes, we turn to, we make an effort, but then he gives back and he showers this abundance on us. And we appreciate God's goodness, and then naturally we want to praise him for that. So what a story, Hosea, with Gomer, Jezreel, Lo Ruhamah, Lo Ami, the divorce, taking her back, and the greater fulfillment of these events, not in the Old Testament people of God, but in God's new people that come through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Finally, let me encourage you, read the whole book of Hosea. In these two talks, I've only read a couple dozen verses. Read the whole thing and try to appreciate the gospel of Hosea. It really is a gospel. And if you want to go deeper, Hosea 6:6, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That was a passage that was important to Jesus. And in Matthew's gospel, it's quoted twice in Matthew 9 and Matthew 12 in the context where Jesus is running up against the religious establishment for whom it's just going through emotions. It's not about relationship. And he says, you need to go learn what this means, because I think this has implications for how we view people, how we interact with non-Christians. It has implications for how we do ministry. God desires mercy. It's about the relationship. It's not about all the rules and regulations. And this should be very freeing. Well, in our next iFaith message, we'll be going to the prophet Amos, another 8th century prophet with Micah and Hosea and Isaiah. Hope you're getting some good things out of this. Have a great day. Think about God's word. Meditate on it. Let it sink into your heart today.